This week on Call the Midwife After Show, Trixie takes a nosedive while Monica Joan orbits her way to become a bride of science. All that and more coming up.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another Call the Midwife After Show. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Burke.
Hi, everybody. Sorry.
And Courtney Stewart.
I don't know how this is.
Hello.
I haven't done this before. What?
And it's different every time.
It is different every time.
Speaking of different, we, of course, had another couple of different births this time.
Yes.
One I hadn't seen where they went away completely. Mm-hmm. And we also had somebody chomping on some coal, which I thought was very interesting. I hadn't heard of Pika. I didn't know they had a name for it.
Yeah.
But as it was happening, and I said to Tam, I'll say it to you, it's like, oh, look, it's the coal biter's daughter. So for those that don't know if that'll translate across the pond, but America will like that one. It's all right. Mm-hmm. So we start out with the Ghanis, and sister wife coming into it was a surprise.
Yeah.
Was not expecting
sister
that.
Wife cousin.
Yeah, yeah, there was
yes,
all that too.
Indeed.
We kept it familial.
Yep.
So
Parveen, who's 15 years old.
Yeah, 15. Yes. That was the other thing. It was like, yeah, okay,
child
wasn't
bride.
Right. Not enough that it was somebody that was an arranged thing, and he didn't apparently that Mr. Ghani didn't want this, didn't have anything to do with it. It's an arranged situation with their families, and mm-hmm. I think his mother set it
my
up.
My mother decided, and your
yeah,
family
and your
agreed.
Family agreed to it.
I'm so sorry, he
I'm
said.
So sorry.
Yeah, and you know, of course, you know, I understand arranged marriages, but they looked like they were 40-ish or
right.
something?
Yeah.
It's like
she
they're still
been,
arranging these?
She was more than twice Parveen's
yeah,
age.
That,
she was
that
definitely
part.
Over
yeah,
30.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I would say 40.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was just, when does that ever stop? How does that work?
I guess
I
they
know.
Got nervous, you know? It was getting, they're getting on up
because
in age.
You think it was all because it was the fact that she wasn't able,
yeah,
right. they weren't
probably
able to conceive?
That they, like, maybe they would have left it alone had they
yeah.
been able to have kids, but mm-hmm. they're like, absolutely not. Our bloodline nope. will not stop.
Yeah.
Oh, Parveen, you poor girl.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was a wonderful shock there when we came home there, huh?
To see. She's like, I'm going to see my cousin.
Yeah.
Wait, you're pregnant?
Wait, where's your husband?
Yeah.
You get him at all.
Yeah,
wait,
your husband.
Wait, what?
Wait, you impregnated?
Wait,
it's
what?
Yours?
Wait, what?
Yeah.
And then they, I'm going to be sick.
Yeah.
So just curious, ladies, if you came home, how would that go over in your world? I'm just curious. Just curious. Anything you want to add to
culture
that?
Is a powerful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And wow. Because she didn't stab nobody.
No, she didn't.
She didn't cut him. She didn't slap him. She just
didn't.
Felt sick and went out the room.
Yeah. She was very disappointed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was sad and
she
disappointed.
She was sad and upset. I feel rage and grief for myself and for my marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, when she put it on herself, man.
Yeah, and then she was even, it felt, what'd she say, she felt despised by herself?
Yeah, she despised herself.
She despised herself, is that how she said it? Yeah,
yeah.
Because then Monica, Julianne said, well, I don't despise you. So,
yeah.
Again, as Monica, as Julianne would. But the whole idea that you are now, obviously you have a life with this is it an arranged marriage to begin with? You
yeah.
married your husband when you were 15,
right.
didn't know each other, didn't know love. They learned and they had that conversation, but we didn't even know what love was. We learned how to share. And, of course, she says, we can't share this.
No, we can't
but
share
the and the fact that you've been together for over 20 years or however many years it is.
Let's say 20.
Let's just
yeah.
say 20. And then this comes, and the fact that you weren't able to have children, which was a big part that
of
you
course.
Were hoping to have.
Right, but our business was our child.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not like we were
we
sitting
learned
around
to be proud because of it.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought she had some fair points.
Yeah,
she had some great points.
And all that you would have funneled into a child or children, you had used elsewhere. I mean.
You know, and it's 1963 in the
yeah.
show, and so it's interesting because in so many ways we keep leaving in the past certain conventions and certain
mm-hmm.
traditions that
yeah, they keep talking
you know,
about how we're moving on
exactly
we're advancing. Here
and
we
then,
are in the over yeah
and then someone like you say from another culture comes in and says oh hold on a second we're gonna revisit this one
actually we're still there guys and there ain't nothing you can do about it
yeah. Yes.
I just can't even imagine coming home and finding a 15-year-old cousin who's pregnant. A 15-year-old
that's pregnant.
Yeah, no. By your
and
husband.
And your husband being and, like, hey!
Your husband never thought to tell you what happened
like
when he went back to...
That
yeah,
in.
Exactly. Like, well, let's not use that term. So, let's just say, so...
He already did that.
Thank you.
Sorry.
But the idea that he went home to for his father's funeral, yeah. And then obviously things took place.
Yes.
Some things
say,
transpired.
And he came back to his wife, didn't say a word about any of it.
A letter could have gotten there before he
yeah,
did.
Exactly.
Because apparently
exactly.
at least 7 or 8 and a half months have passed.
Exactly.
It doesn't take that long for a letter to get to the UK from India. Or so, Pakistan.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, but not a word is spoken about the whole thing.
Man.
He was so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sure he
because
was.
Because any one of those things. Hey, by the way, when I went back for my father, remember my dad died and I had to go back?
Right.
While I was there, my mother.
The craziest thing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to believe it.
It didn't mean anything.
Made me.
Exactly. I had to do it.
Yeah.
And maybe he didn't know she was pregnant. I don't know. We don't know that part. But the fact that the arrangement was made. And exactly.
Like, come on.
So, yeah. And I thought, it was like, where was that conversation? Where was the, and you didn't think to tell me?
Not at
so,
all.
So, yeah. I was just wondering. It was like, wow, they skipped over that part of it. Mm-hmm. So, because I would have thought that would have been an interesting
thing.
Well,
the theme of the episode was acceptance.
Yes.
She just accepted that. Like, it was... It's just going to be, there's nothing I can do about it now.
Well, she's had to accept a lot of things, you know, she can't bear children, all this. That's what I'm just going to have to accept this as well. In fact, she brings that up. So, yeah. Okay.
Well.
So, but where are we in the storyline? I'm still stuck on that part, the fact that he got away with not saying anything.
Well, and the Brits are a little perplexed as well.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Valerie learns about that. But where's your husband?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Is that your mom?
Yeah.
Where's your husband?
She's very pretty.
What? Oh, I see. And then Dr. Turner, well, that's none of my concern. But, you know, and then around the dinner table at Nanatus, a little conversation about, I'm not sure how I feel about that, everybody says, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what can you do about it?
I mean
But so they continue on, and I thought they did a really nice job with Mrs. Ganis. I think her name is Montas. Mm-hmm. When she, for instance, like when she's talking to who was it the first time? When she leaves the room, right? I forgot when it was. A better indication of this after the child is born and he finally comes in, the father finally comes in.
That was
awful.
Yes.
That was horrible.
That was
horrible. When he says, I have a son, my son. And then he turns to Parveen and says, our son. And then
it's only a reminder.
Yeah, thanks very much.
But
exactly.
That was hard.
And she had to leave the room. She had to leave the room. There was one other time, which I can't remember at the moment, where she left the room because of what was happening between the two of them.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that's just
poor girl.
Killer.
After she's been there so long with this man.
But side note, when we were talking about the conversation over dinner about everything in Nanata's house, Phyllis was talking about a dude in like Leeds, but he had like a mistress and a woman over there. Yeah. I was like, Phyllis, I think that's not exactly the same thing. But I thought it was funny that they just threw that in and she kept going.
Yeah.
He had a wife over here, a wife over there, a girlfriend over there, a mistress. I was like, girl, that's not the same.
Not exactly. But okay. Sure.
Cute though.
It was cute though.
Sure.
Thanks for trying.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, the birth that Sister Julianne is deciding that, you know, this isn't going to go over well without some help. It's some family support. And I just love when she goes to Montas and she says, look, I know what it's like when a baby isn't welcomed or wanted.
Yes.
She was so diplomatic, as she always is with those kinds of conversations. And I'm just going, how do you try to... entice, coerce somebody to say, hey, could you help with this? How
Chip
does that?
In, would you?
Yeah, yeah. Like, okay, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that.
Love on your second cousin / son?
How is that going to work?
Yeah, I don't know.
I kept thinking, let's get to back to the story, which is the fact that so she decides that she is going to go in. She's going to help with the birth, and she gets there just in time to help with the breathing and the pushing and the slowing down and all that other stuff.
And talking to her in her native language.
Yes, and Urdu or Pakistani, whatever.
Punjab.
Punjab, thank you.
Punjabi.
And you know, again, because she can't have her own, this is her vicarious.
The closest her experience is going to be to having birth, giving birth.
Still tragic.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's incredibly difficult. And, you know, of course, the baby's born. And then, you know, that's when we have the father moment when he comes in later and he finally says, oh, I have a son, my son, our son. And she's not part of that.
Yeah.
And again, she keeps saying, look, this is not my child. It's not my
thing. Responsibility.
Yeah. And she keeps getting pulled back into it.
Right.
Because, you know, Parveen does, she's 15. She's not ready to do this. It's too hard.
She said, you know, I didn't want this.
I didn't want this.
I don't want your husband. Yeah. I don't want this baby.
Yeah.
I don't want this life.
Yeah, it's like, what? You know, what is the efficacy of this arrangement?
No.
I just don't understand. But again, to her credit, she decides, okay, all right, I'll help. And, you know, decides that, you know, and it says that nice line about my grandmother told me that in order to feed the baby, you must first feed the mother.
Mm-hmm. Now, she cut her hand before that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Stitched her hand.
Yeah, exactly.
That was gross.
I just glossed over it. It's like, okay, I got to hang on for a minute.
Yeah. So. But I did find myself sitting there coming up with all kinds of alternatives for Parveen. I was like, okay, you've had the baby. You don't really want the baby. So we can put you in school.
Yeah.
You can, like, go and get educated in 1963. And then you can let them, like, raise the baby. Yeah, and you can be, like, the sister that comes by and, like, the whole thing. But she seemed to embrace the baby at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering, because they left it a little bit ambiguous in the end about which way is it going to go. Because that is a really viable possibility. And you know that's happened bazillions of times. And, you know, could work out as a really great solution for everyone, fulfilling a lot of needs.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Parveen could pick up the slack and, you know, stand up and become a mother. And, I mean, you know, are they all going to live together?
I don't know. But, I mean, that it presented all these different detours.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I imagine, because I watched Sister Wives. And they at least had their own houses as well as on Big Love. So I was like, well, maybe she can get a flat next to theirs. Is that weird? Because I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it would be weirder if she stayed.
Is it?
So I don't know.
What
I
if mean, she just, well, she doesn't really get her own room. I don't know how many rooms that place had.
Yeah, we didn't know that any of that part of it. But it was definitely fascinating. And I was wondering how they, you know, it's not like we're going to follow them. So it's left out to dust or whatever. But it made me go, how does that work? And I liked your scenario about, oh, here, we'll raise a child because, you know, let's make that work. And then you go off and. Because
she's 15. You can't leave her on her own in her own house.
No.
Right.
With a baby yet, maybe. I mean, it's 63. I don't know. I don't know.
But I like that. I'm gonna go.
We're gonna go with that.
Send her to school.
Yeah.
Raise the baby and tell the baby at 25 this is actually your mom, and then he'll hate you all and run away to America or something. Because that's how it goes.
One little side note on that storyline: after Mrs. Gandhi number one impaled her hand on the sewing machine, she was brought a pot of tea.
Yes.
Yep.
Drink this. It's well sugared, and as if we've learned nothing else on the call, all the midwife that, you know,
fortified tea is it?
Fortified tea will solve anything.
Yeah,
yes, fortified tea, well fortified with sugar, will save the world.
Yes,
so
exactly,
you know, ours is fortified
tea.
In a different way
because we're America.
Fortified in a different way.
Oh, my
gosh. It is.
All right, let's get to the Coal Biters storyline, just because it leads into
Loretta.
Loretta Campbell.
Oh, Loretta.
When she first, you know, she's in the clinic and, you know, I think it was Valerie that asked her to come up. And then she has, and I'm going, what is she, what is that?
Like, is that dirt?
Yeah, that was, why?
Right.
Yeah. That was like, why is she, and then the whole thing, and she's embarrassed by the whole thing, clearly, as you, why wouldn't anybody be? But I don't know of anybody except on My Strange Addiction.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what you said
when eating couch cushions.
Yeah, there you go.
When it comes on, John goes, My Strange Addiction.
Yeah, so people eat chalk, and it's like, I guess it's just the, you know, it's anything else. But
I was concerned. I was like, I get the whole like weird craving thing,
right,
but
yeah.
Like, isn't that dangerous?
Yeah, that's what I'm going.
And nobody
said nobody
like,
anything. And I said, really? There aren't any health risks?
It's
I literally wrote, they're just going to let this chick eat coal? Like, why is this okay?
It'll go away.
If she has a sweet tea back to that, then it's fine. It's going to, you know, it'll balance it out. She's fine.
Oh, yeah,
she's fine. What are you worried about? It's just terrible.
I mean, I appreciated the fact that we got the information from Lucille about how, you know, look, these things happen and that usually it stops when you have give birth and all this other stuff, but really, there wasn't an alternative. There wasn't a suggestion that maybe try this instead. There was nothing.
Because there's like a vitamin in the coal that you're like super pumped about.
Yeah,
and, like,
and maybe that's
but
what
they didn't. Yeah. Nobody. They were just like, oh, you eat coal. That's so cute. It's okay, girl. No, it's not okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
I guess you can do it when you're pregnant, man.
I guess the thought was that they wouldn't be able to stop her, but the fact that there wasn't any suggestion of an alternative that, the reason being.
They didn't even say, like, oh, we should flush you out with saline or something.
I mean,
like,
I guess it's used to clear toxins in some fashion, so maybe it's a good thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I keep saying it's fine.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
I guess we do like charcohol pills and stuff.
That's what I mean.
But she was just taking it from the furnace.
Right. They can't be,
it's more pure that way.
It's toxic.
No, it's more pure that way for her. Right. You guys don't get it.
Mainlining coal for crying out loud.
Right. The part that was so hard for me on that was just that she was so ashamed about it.
Right.
She had this massive, guilt and concern, and mm-hmm. I wish I could just crave a marmalade sandwich because
from her previous,
that would be normal.
That Trixie mirror,
that's why it was fed into that, which mm-hmm. was a terrific way to do it. It was just so interesting that they didn't do anything else with coal. They did. They're health professionals, and nobody raised any health issues.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. It's all good.
But yeah. But anyway, so what I do like is the mirror, of course, and Trixie has a conversation with her about does it help? What do you do? And it doesn't.
Well, it feels good at first.
Yeah. So we get this. In fact, and then really, there's not much more to that storyline. It really only feeds into Trixie. So, of course, she has the child, which we didn't get to see.
Yep.
And then once the child is born, we decide that Mr. Campbell wants to celebrate with some sherry. It's just a little bit
just
of sherry.
Just a bit of sherry.
Right?
No, Trixie. So,
little Bristol cream.
Okay, yeah. And did we all go, no, don't do it.
But we knew she would.
Of course. Yeah. Of course you do it. Yeah.
Of course. But the weirdest part about her drinking in this episode is that for the first time for me, the pregnancy that she's in real life was the most distracting.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I felt like I was watching a pregnant lady drink liquor.
We were saying too. Stop it! That's bad for the baby.
Don't do that. Yeah,
it was a bit much.
It was a bit much. Of course, and she's secretly drinking now, and going.
I know, and lying.
Yeah.
When she went to the meeting and didn't go to the meeting.
Yeah, exactly.
And lied when she came back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then when she came, and then going into the bathroom, turning on the water, and drinking some more. It's like, oh boy,
she's in the bottom.
Yep. But I really liked Phyllis, because a lot of not many people in real life would do the confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
They would kind of skirt the issue and not really say anything. She just stood right in that center.
Said, did you drink sherry?
Exactly.
On the job. And then she's like, "It was just fine." No, you're out of control.
That's right. Yeah, you're a midwife. And, I'm not a child. No, you're a nurse and a midwife, and there are rules, and boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
That's kind of how you have to do it. Now, that's an intervention.
That was real.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, it almost worked because she said she'd go to her meetings because, but then she doesn't.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
Because she's lying, too.
Right.
That's what
shame involved, and there's
she's
all kinds of cover.
Of
exactly. And then when Dr. Chris shows up at the house, and Phyllis standing in that doing thing.
Phyllis regulates everything.
Yeah, exactly.
She don't need no man with another woman.
No, she don't.
Pretending like he love her.
That's right.
Don't mess with her.
Don't even.
All she needs is a friend, okay? Yeah. Uh-huh. Stop trying to kiss her. None of that.
What she said.
Yeah.
Go, Phyllis. We love you.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. And then we have he just happens to be there so he can bump into her. They have that nice little moment. And he kisses her and he goes, hey. She goes, hey, you shouldn't kiss me in front of the house.
Oh, we're just friends.
We can do that. Okay.
But I thought the next scene was even better, which is the whole thing about, you need help, but she's not asking for any, so she's still the obstinate, which is the classic, thing. I'm not asking.
I'm not asking, but you need it. Yes. Thank you for allowing the space so
exactly.
that I can say that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Ay-yi-yi.
Takes her. Okay, so here's the question, though. Did you want to bring that? Because I wanted to get
into
it right now.
I do. So, right. So, I feel like this storyline could have been more painful. You two were talking about it after after last week's episode. And I wanted to invite you both to bring that conversation back.
Yeah, I want to be critical about it for a second because I felt this was... It didn't move their storyline any. It was a sideways move because to me, very little difference between the goodbye we had last week and this goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't move that storyline. And I wanted, just because I don't know, I wanted it more painful.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a more heart-wrenching reason for her to fall off the wagon, a more heart-wrenching reason for somebody to stand and be combative with her and confront her and, and make her, you know, because this was fine, just, but it wasn't as dramatic or as tense-filled as I wanted it to be.
I was so definitely underwhelmed.
There are times on this show in the last, this series, actually, where I feel like I should be bawling my eyes out.
Right.
And I wasn't. I had a little tear. You people know. I will cry at anything.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, just sort of, I was a little choked up.
Right.
And this was one of those stories. Because we talked, I think we talked about on the air about losing, potentially losing a baby or coming close to losing a baby.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. On many occasions we've seen the behavior or whatever is going on in one of the midwives' life, it causes a problem in their work, which puts somebody in jeopardy. Not that that child or whatever ends up...
Has to die.
Has to die. Yeah. We're not suggesting that because nobody really wants to see that. Have, you know. But we wanted to see the real consequence or something that was more dramatic.
Yeah, and they didn't raise the stakes at all.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, like, sappy again. But, like, the conversation she had with him to let him go was way more... I
felt
way
more
pain than what happened this time when she's like, I gotta let you go again.
Yeah,
like, but you already did that. So
exactly.
I needed something else,
extra. I wanted it elevated, and it sat flat. It sat, went sideways rather than moving forward. And I thought, well, they had an opportunity to really just... reach in and rip it out.
And I wonder why they didn't. Because it's obviously a conscious, well, I would think it's a conscious choice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing left to chance in, when it comes to writing a TV show.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that, especially because we're also invested in Trixie.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all saw it coming, number one, because we read the news, and number two, because we saw her boobs doubling in size.
For the record,
I'm thinking she was very lucky that her boobs didn't look that big. Like,
she was complaining about it. Helen George was complaining about it herself. They weren't that bad, but I mean, you could tell that she was gaining weight.
Yeah.
You could see the bump. But people on Twitter like lost their minds last night over the fact that Trixie was leaving the show because clearly they did not do.
They didn't know that was going to happen.
Get the memo.
Oh.
They did not notice the you know change in her shape because they were saying you know. That I should be, the show should be sponsored by Kleenex every Sunday and oh poor Trixie and then hopefully there will be long term happiness for poor Trixie.
Yeah, but I wanted to be devastated.
Yeah. I did too.
I was telling Courtney about it last week. I wanted her to see Alexandra.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the park having a good time and she sees Trixie sees Alexandria, and then she sees Christopher,
off
and then
distance,
she sees
kind of.
His wife there, and they're all there as a family, enjoying, having a great time. And that's Trixie's life that she can never have. I wanted to see that. I wanted a last moment where Dr. Chris would look back at her, and they'd share a look to realize that they could never be.
Because you're a cold soul, John. So cold.
I did. I wanted to say, rip me to shreds.
Yeah,
I have not had much... shredding this well, I mean, the Christmas episode had some, the first four episodes of the season have just been, you know, just they haven't really gone there the way they have in the past, I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And we all agree on that, yes?
I agree, for sure.
Okay. No, you're alone on that. All the letters and all the comments go to Tamara.
Oh yeah. Gosh. Well, maybe they wanted to, like, pull the punch a little bit because she was way further along than, like, maybe she was mostly able to handle the kind of stress that she needed to put herself through to do it.
That's a fair point. Yeah, like, that's a really good point.
Maybe they had a script and they were like, we didn't get there in time.
Sooner. Could have done it last week.
They're like, girl, you're about to have some contractions if we make you do this.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't know.
One of our viewers tweeted me and said that Trixie's battle was like Thomas's suicide attempt in Downton Abbey.
Right.
Remember? Yeah, it was sort of off camera mostly and a bit of a letdown. And I agree about that. Like, there were opportunities to shred us.
Right.
And let's face it, we like that.
Well, I mean, that's what they're known for.
Yeah.
They set a high bar.
That's
they
true.
Did. They, I mean, and it's they are victims of their own success to some degree because they set such a high bar for that kind of drama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so some of us, me included, tend to start going, oh, my God. You know,
here it comes.
And that's right. And there's a setup there, and you expect there's a payoff in there, and it's like, okay.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
It's just a different choice, which is fine. You know,
it's still
good. We can
good.
Debate that. Absolutely. It doesn't mean it's bad.
It sometimes I want to be bawling at the end of the hour.
Exactly.
Let's face it.
I just wanted to know why, though, she got out the car when she was done, wherever he took her.
Right, he can drive her home.
I was like, you gonna walk now?
Yeah. Doesn't he know she's pregnant?
Yeah. car.
And has that big bouffant that she really had to duck to get out of the car with so it wouldn't get smashed.
She was protecting it very well.
Yeah, she was.
Especially, the other thing is, she's just been to a meeting. You already know her sobriety is tenuous.
Yeah.
And you're going to let her walk home.
Yeah. Right.
She might find a pub.
Passing the pubs. Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? You're horrible, Crystal.
I don't know. I think there must have been extenuating circumstances on set. I think that's a really good...
Yeah, maybe she was just like, or having some doctor say like, yo, you can't. The stress is too much. Like, you got to do a quick... Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's chalk it up to that.
Right.
Well, or charcoal it up to that. Or cigarette butt or toothpaste or.
Well, the part that got me more anyway was Monica Jones' storyline because, you know, again, isn't it enough that she's already having difficulty remembering things and keeping her.
Now she got to go black. Damn. Sorry, I'm not
on. I mean, what else are we going to throw at her for crying out loud?
So one of the things I love about Sister Monica Joan is when she can say things with three words, she uses 15.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
This is Heidi Thomas and Lauren Klee, I think.
Every one of those words has a little flower petal on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a little sparkle.
They love what she does with their dialogue, and they give it to her, and she always delivers.
I know, and I love it. It's
terrific.
Because she speaks in poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for a woman who loves words and books as much as she does.
That?
Yeah, you would.
Quotes done and the whole thing. So.
So she's the first woman is going into space.
Mm-hmm.
All the ladies are pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. And... yeah, so they're all watching that and following it, and it's a pretty amazing story. Thinking about what is that astronaut face, and what is it like for her? And go ahead.
No, I just love that. Well, if here she is on the way out of life. Here is somebody at the pinnacle of her life. I mean, those kinds of things are running through her head, and what could have been, what might have been, what was all that stuff is heavy with everything that she's thinking about and saying about. So that part of it I was loving. And the fact that, she can't see and the faculties are leaving her and they're just slowly being pulled away.
Yeah, and she feels like there's no... it's like she feels as if the process is the godly process, right? So when I vowed to surrender the world of senses when I took the veil... Yeah. So she's sitting there thinking, this is God's plan for me, right?
Well, wants me
as Courtney said earlier, this is about acceptance. So that's the theme in her life right now.
Right.
And then the surrendering to it.
But why, girl? Why?
Yeah. And then, of course, she has all the fear about going under the knife and
fear of doctors in general.
Yeah, exactly. All that.
Line was so good when she was in the surgeon's office.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's something about whatever the imaginary realm will reconcile me to your butchery. Because he was talking about, the local anesthesia. And she just she's like, absolutely not. You can take me out of my head and cut me open. It's not going to happen. I love it so much.
Oh,
I'm like, circling words I'm just going to start using that we never use.
Yeah, we don't exactly. Like if I had somebody writing for me, I'd say this stuff all the time.
And the little conversation with Sheila when she's trying to coax her into coming, and she's
thought
like,
it was great.
Envisage me crying and gnashing my teeth. And...
I thought it was great that they brought Sheila in for this because we obviously haven't seen them together in a long time since she's left the house and started her own family and all that other stuff. So we haven't really seen Sheila and Monica Joan together.
Sheila was an incredibly pious nun. If we all remember, and I felt like she's sort of abandoned that part of her, not abandoned, but like separated that part of her life. And there's,
we see her differently because she's not wearing the habit and the whole thing.
And, having a more secular life, obviously. But for me, I felt like she was reconnecting to that part of her life.
And part of herself, too.
In ministering
to a sister.
Sister Monica Joan through this process. And I really loved that they brought that back.
Yeah.
Because we get to see her be compassionate, as they all get to be on every episode. But I just directly connected to her when she was a sister in the
convent.
There's
that history that they get to work
and
off of.
I appreciated that so much because I was a little critical of Sheila's storyline the last couple of weeks because it's been a little campy and sort of played for comedy. And that's something that we do on the show and it's great, but I really appreciated that they kind of circled back to the origin of Sheila and one of the foundations of her life. That's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
I believe in that.
No, I did. I thought it was great.
I appreciated it too, for that reason also.
Yeah. So, right. I've curated and collected a library of books in my mind. And then Sister Julian says, but I will not abandon you to the darkness.
Yes.
Loved it. It was really personal for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, because I've all been on the verge of being blind at
what?
21. So yeah, when I'm watching this, long story, tell you later.
But, yeah, we don't, I don't know.
But I have
posted on Twitter.
Had to have surgery, straight out of 21 years old, the whole thing. So like, and the love of books and reading and all of that, and like everything she was saying, I was like, oh my God, it's so true, because that's all you think. I'm like, I can't read anymore? Like what? Even like, I'm not gonna, like what? So anyway, it was super well done, Monica Jones.
I'm
random information, guys.
Stunned. Yeah.
Yes. Breaking but I'm not news. Blind. Because I did go under the butcher knife.
So the conversation that they had about if this is God's will for
me. Yeah. And between Fred.
Yeah. And Fred and Monica Jones scenes were just so beautiful in this episode. You know, I felt he really stepped up to her level. Acting wise, the
sure,
actor
yeah,
did.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because he's not always given a lot of meat, you know, within the scenes. But I think he's brilliant in every scene. I love his interaction with Violet. Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, he's so tender and he's so good. But I really felt like this was, you know, a next level opportunity for him to really get in there and just show his range.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that they have the dueling dialogue, too. She's got all this poetry and prose to her dialogue, and he was kind of, you know, he's...
Brass tacks.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And he's just trying to... He's got the heart and the sentiment of it, but, I just love they were playing on those different levels, and, yeah, it was great.
But
that
first time when she's coming out of the garden shed,
with the magnifying glass,
and he's like... you're stressing yourself out, and he sits down with her, and he just sort of coaxes her, and she's shivered, like huddled over this way, and the big love. Yeah. They masterfully did that together.
They melted things for you.
It did.
But that scene in the last scene when he was convincing her
in the chapel.
Just talking about.
She couldn't see. No, yeah, I loved that because you're rejecting science, and if I were the man upstairs, I'd be a little fed up with you.
That's what I mean. It's like he just says that, as opposed to the poetry or whatever that he could have said.
She knows my reason.
Then he also knows you're scared.
Yes.
Okay.
And that was great. Yeah. To bring in that.
And I thought it was a great couple. By the way, they had a great edit between. I think it was Dr. Chris and Trixie sitting on the bench, and he holds her hand. Then we cut right to the edit Fred holding Monica Jones' hand in the chapel. It was a nice little cinematic thing they did there. But then also the nice edit from after the conversation with Fred, Monica Jones goes...
Storming in. Yes.
Exactly. I'm ready.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. The rites of science.
If an ingenue of 26 can travel the Earth's atmosphere at orbital velocity. Then a man,
a woman
of science. I've got code in here.
Yeah,
then a woman of science.
Woman of age or history.
A woman as ancient as myself can face her fear of the scalpel. I look at the astronaut and myself as brides of science. And I courteously invite you to do likewise.
And Sister Julia's trying to bust
Snap.
The bubble. Talking about, I don't really think that's the same thing. That's not the point. She said yes.
Yeah. Pretty much just take it and run.
Just take it and run. Acceptance. Like,
but we need a setup line for that wonderful outline.
It was great, though.
It was. And I also like that they took the time to keep the camera on her until for the look back. Mm-hmm. Just like, if that wasn't enough of a mic drop, she doesn't look back at it.
Exactly.
Then she leaves.
So there.
Yeah. That was kind of nice. So.
And then at the end, they're on the bench, and Sister Monica Jones.
Yeah,
like,
we have that
looking,
nice parallel,
and I was like, yay.
Parallel scene. Yeah. So.
Love it.
And looking at what she's expecting to see soon, or what she's hoping to see, and also looking up into the heavens for Valentina Tereshenko. What's her name?
Sure.
Tereshkova. Sorry, Tereshkova. Beg your pardon. Got her mixed up.
I thought it was right.
Yeah, I bought it.
So, and then we're left with what kind of acceptance is going to help us through to the next one.
Right. One of our viewers thought that the theme, another theme of the show was secrets.
Sure, there was, the secrets.
You know, the hiding of the magnifying glass, Trixie's secret drinking, the
hiding
secret
of the, eating
of
the coal, hiding the fact that you impregnated a 15-year-old.
Pregnant wife. Yeah, exactly.
Secrets.
Yeah, everywhere. So thank you for that.
Every secret comes with an acceptance.
Also, my friend Anna talked about the amazing outfits that Trixie and Mrs. Gani wore.
Yes.
Mrs. Gani's outfits were amazing.
Those suits were
the
fantastic.
Colors, the fuchsia and turquoise. I talked about it while we were watching.
Oh, right.
The tailoring is fantastic.
Well, they make them. They're better.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Trixie's big coat, the black and yellow checkered.
The raincoaty one.
Whichever one she wore to the...
The houndstooth?
It wasn't houndstooth.
No, it wasn't houndstooth. Nice try. He just throws those words out, tries to...
making it sound like I know what I'm talking about.
She went to the first AA meeting that she lied about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then her bathrobe was pretty open.
Oh, yeah. That she was wearing the brocade, the turquoise brocade. She wore that in another episode. Yeah.
It was great.
Also, Trixie's hair was amazing again.
Always.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
And what did I want to mention? Oh, hey, you guys, can you do us a favor and comment on iTunes about how awesome we are?
We do, because we have no comments.
Shameless plug.
We haven't had comments in years, and they're...
Because we get them on YouTube, we don't get them in iTunes.
Exactly, so if you can go to iTunes as well, that would be a big help.
We appreciate
it. Yeah, for sure.
Greatly.
Only if they're good ones, though, right? If you have something bad to say about me, send that privately, I'll take it.
Sure. Do you want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So shout outs. Hey, you guys, thanks. Anna and our secret agent in London, as always. Hello. Broadway and HD 5, Aurelia Ansa, Annie 6, Marilee Ortega, Helena Huang, Games Islander 3. I'm not sure.
Like, what does that say?
Because they have, you know, people have funny names on YouTube. But thank you all for your comments. I try to keep on top of them and respond. And also, Lee. Hi, Lee. And and all the gang, Amy.
And who was our newbie last week? Wasn't it?
We had a new one last week. Yeah.
I'm supposed to write that down.
You are supposed to. And Becky as well. Sorry, Becky, I can't reveal my sources on that one. Sorry. So anyway, thanks everybody for hanging out with us and commenting and tweeting and all that stuff. It's fun. It adds an extra level of enjoyment for all of us.
Yes.
For
last thoughts? We good?
I just really wanted more from the Trixie thing, but hopefully when she comes back, I'll still love it anyway, because I just like looking at it.
I know, it's true.
You want to get there with Sister Bernadette.
True.
Yeah, you want to get, that's it.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
It's fine. True. But I also like our Jamaican lady.
Lucy.
I'm like, what is her name?
Lucy.
I think she is the sweetest, jolliest face in the world.
Oh, she is.
Like, she has the most tender, sweet smile. Like, I just think you're so great. Mm-hmm. So that's all I had to do. Because when she popped in on the coal miner.
What's the deal? Because we just got another midwife, and now Trixie's gone. So we're going to have to get another, or?
Well, Babs is coming back. Right?
Who is?
Oh, that's right, Barbara.
Barbara's coming back.
Oh, Barbara's coming back next week. Babs. Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't on top of it. I can't. There are so many names in my brain. I can only have room for so many.
I couldn't even pull out the last one. I've already forgotten his name until you just said it. It's too much.
I think you need to either have
more or
fewer.
Less.
I'm not exactly sure. All right.
Probably fewer. You're hilarious.
More makes me more brilliant.
That's it. And I guess next week we'll have Courtney tell us her story about her.
Yeah, we're going to have her fit it in 280 characters.
I'm fascinated.
We'll get her to put it into 400 characters.
All right, look, we got to get at her. So tell them where they can find you.
You can find me all over the social medias at Stuart Starlet.
I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter, Tamara A. Berg on Instagram. My website is tamaracentral.com.
And I'm on the antisocial network in the dark web. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and giving us your comments and your thoughts and ideas. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
We will talk to you next time.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later. Cup of tea, shot of brandy.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.